We got a couple of the on the drawing the last part of the block. We got the loving girls.
I'm a review.
Yeah, loving girls. That's it. Because you still are.
And it was in part of the same information.
And Hashem was not comforted. Egypt was a superpower, was a superhouse. Well, that power was America, right? And it had just been brought to these 10 pages, it was devastated, it was crippled. And now Hashem was like, you're not going to go through Egypt because in case they'll start war and the nation will get afraid. You don't think Hashem was taking out the Egyptian?
Hey, I heard you were concerning King Jacques.
Sorry, I didn't know my first job.
That's great. Did your mentor buy that for you?
Ah, hello, my father's
Yeah, you might get a map like I want to know why Derek Christian was supposed to get the young
Ross. You go to the other side. You went in and then you came right back out.
Yeah, so how it goes is that they did that for you.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then they did a technical beat that. Oh, Yoshi, here my
and also confusingly, why did they take that? you. What's wrong with you? And then the tournament makes no sense. I'm very upset. Very, very upset.
I bought 3 suits from a tailor in Thailand who made me the suits. I need to get them checked for sharpness. If all 3 were made for him, would checking one suffice, or do I need to check all 3?
All 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, ready?
Yeah, let me pull it.
I think Ulpan got changed, so
okay. So I just want to talk a little bit about Kriyas Yamsif. Last week's parsha was, of course, the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Jewish people are traveling, and according to Chazal's Masoret, it was on the 7th day that they reached the Yamsif, and the Mitzrayim is pursuing them. And we find that the Jewish people at that point were in a tremendous state of panic. Chazal say that the Jewish people divided into 4 groups. There was one group that said, let's jump into the sea, not as a matter of emunah, fakir, let's commit suicide, it's hopeless. The other group said, let us rayim and surrender and become slaves. A third group said, let us cry out to the nations of the world, like the United Nations, to help us. They were probably the stupidest group. And the fourth group said, let's try to wage milchama. But nobody had emun in Hashem's promise. And what happened was that Nachshon ben Aminadav, who's the head of the tribe of Yehuda, and according to Gemara in Saita, people of the tribe of Binyamin jumped into the sea, and because of their emunah, the sea split, etc., and Bnei Yisrael were saved. And this is the miracle that happened on Shavi. This is the miracle that happened on Shavi Shel Pesach. And this is Kriyas Yamsif. So the Yamsif is just an interesting Dvar Halacha, that we know that on Pesach we say Halal Shalem on the first day of Pesach, and in Chutz Laaretz also the first 2 days of Pesach, but the last 6 days of Pesach we only say Chatzi Halal. So the question becomes, why is there a difference? For Sukkot, every single day of Sukkot we talk to say a whole Halal, including Shemini Atzeres. But when it comes to Pesach, we only say a whole Hallel on the first day, and we do not say a whole Hallel on the other days. So the emes is, the Gemara asked the kasha, people don't realize, because people will give the other reason that I'll mention, but the Gemara itself gives a reason. The Gemara asks, what's the nafka mina between Pesach and Sukkot? The Gemara in Erchin. And the Gemara in Erchin answers the following way. Every day of Sukkot, the korbanos of Musaf are different. The korbanos of every single day of Sukkot are different. So we regard every single day as a unique and distinct Yom Tov, even Chol HaMoed. So since every single day is a distinct and unique Yom Tov, and not simply a continuation of the day before, each day has to have its own complete Hallel. Masha'en kein for Pesach. Pesach putting aside the Korban Pesach, which is part of Erev Pesach, what the Musaf, the Korban Musaf of Pesach is the same for all 7 days. It's the standard Musaf of Yom Tov, which is 2 parim, 2 bulls, 1 ayal, 1 ram, and 7 sheep, 7 kvasim, right? That's the standard Musaf offering. So in Mela, the Gemara says, since the Musafim are the same, then the Torah regards the days of Pesach as one long Hemshech instead of a distinct Yom Tov. So only the first day has a complete halal. Now, you might ask, so why do I even say a half halal? The answer would be, it might be, although it's not clear, that might only be a minhag. The Gemara says, for example, that the halal of Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. That's why we do it half. But Ein Chinami, the chiyuv of halal, is Meikir Adin only the first day. So the Gemara itself says, Beferish, that the chiluk between Pesach and Sukkot is the Korbanos. When the Korbanos are different, every day is different, so you have to have your own halal. Masha'en came, when the Korbanos are the same, it's one long Hemshech, it's one long continuity, so you only have a halal the first day. That is what the Gemara in Erechim says. However, one of the Rishonim, the Shivalei Leket, brings a medrash. This is called a medrash harninu. This is a medrash that begins with a drasha in the pasuk harninu Hashem amo. And this is a lost medrash. We actually do not have this medrash, but this is a very, very well known idea that the medrash says that since at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachi Yasharis wanted to sing to Hashem, they wanted to praise Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my creatures are drowning in the sea, the Egyptians. You want to say Shira when my Egyptians are drowning? They're also my people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashtik the malachim from saying Shira, so we too do not say complete halal. Now again, I want people to understand what part the Gemara says and what part the Medrash adds. The idea that the Malachi Hashareis wanted to say Shira, and Hashem said to them, Maise Yadai Tavu Bayam Batemayim Shira, that is in the Gemara. That is a memra of Rabbi Yochanan in Maseches Megillah. Okay, that is in the Gemara. But the Gemara never uses that as the reason for not saying a full halal. It is only the Medrash, the lost Medrash brought by the Shibali Leket, that says that Svara of Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam is the reason why we don't say a complete halal. Now that's a very well-known reason. I'm sure you probably heard it before. But the Taz asked the Kasha on the Medrash Harninu, and the Taz says, well, wait a second, good. So if you're going to tell me that Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam, so our Simcha is not complete, therefore I only say a half halal, that's only on the 7th day of Pesach. Right? I mean, Kriyas Yom Tov is the 7th day. So L'chaira, why do I only say a halal shalom on day number 1? I should say it from day 1 to 6. And on the 7th day, say a half halal. Right? To the Medrash. Bishlama, the Gemara's reason, would apply to everything after the 1st day. But the Shivalei Leket's reason should only apply to the 7th day. So the Taz adds a nice little twist. The Taz says, since the 7th day is Yom Tov, we never want to elevate Chol HaMoed to have a greater status than Yom Tov. In other words, what are you going to say? Let's say a whole Hallel for the 5 days of Chol HaMoed, and then a half Hallel on Yom Tov, so it's kind of, you got to go backwards. If on a Yom Tov you're only going to go down to a half Hallel, so Mamela Chol HaMoed gets dragged down, so to speak, gets denigrated, or gets demoted along with Yom Tov. That's what the Taz says, based on the Shibalei Leket. Now, just as a little aside, I just want to point out a very fascinating nekuda.
Yeah. Just asking, if we're bringing, wouldn't the Korbanos of Sukkot, they're like, the idea behind it is that, you know, the destruction of the nations. So wouldn't it also be inappropriate in the same way to say halal on those Korbanos?
And that's also about the Korban of the nations. Yeah. But on the other hand, since it's not focusing, see, that didn't happen yet. So if that didn't happen yet, the nations could be theoretically destroyed by them doing tshuva by different ways. In other words, you're not. See, Kriyas Yamsuf, which is a Maisa Shahaya, actually involved destruction. But our tzipia for Geula does not necessarily have to involve destruction, because the nations theoretically, even though they won't, but theoretically the Geula could have come through their tshuva. So Mamela, that's not called a Maisa Yadai, that's simply a simcha in the tzipia that their spiritual destructiveness is going to get pachos v'heilech as we get towards Geula. I just want to point out a very, very fascinating thing. This is Mamish, an interesting idea in Agadata, where sometimes Chazal were makabel a certain lashon or a certain maisa or a certain quote, but the Chachamim understood the same mimer in very different ways. Rav Yechanan is the one who darshaned that. We're okay. Not too much. Appliances out of the way. Okay. Yeah, Rav Yechanan is the one that darshans Bikshu Malachi Hashares Leimar Shira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. Now, what was the mocker of Rav Yochanan? Because again, apparently Rav Yochanan darshaned. Rav Yochanan didn't have a halacha motion we see that this happened, but he darshaned it. He darshaned it from the phrase that it says that there was a wall, right? Hashem made the water wall, and the Jews crossed, and the Egyptians could not breach that wall the whole night. So what's the lashon? V'loy karav ze el ze kol halayla. And the pashtus of that means the Egyptians could not reach the Jews the entire night. But Rav Yochanan says that he sees a dimyon between the phrase v'loy karav, they didn't draw near, with v'kara ze el ze v'yamar. When the malachim say shira to Hashem, they call to each other and come together. V'loy karav, the malachim were not permitted to come together. Now, the Bavli takes Rav Yochanan's statement and uses it in the way the Shibali Leket uses it, although not for Hallel. The Bavli says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not rejoice in the destruction of Rishayim, because they are also, it has to be done, Taka. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're also my creatures. I have Rachmanis for them, I have Chanina for them. We could call this the universalistic ethic of Judaism, in which even the undeserving, we have pity for, we have rachamim for. We don't rejoice. Now it's interesting. We don't say be pacifist. We still say, Hashem after all is killing the Egyptians. We don't say, turn the other cheek. Habal laharkecha, if they're coming to kill you, hashkein v'haravla. But you don't glorify in it. You don't rejoice. You don't make a simcha out of it. And to this very day, we have to say that one of the great ethical qualities of the Israeli army, again, we have, right now the army, we have our issues with the army. No, actually, we don't have issues with the army. We have our issues with the Knesset, maybe. The truth is, the matter is, you should have no issues with the army, because the army doesn't want you. the emphasis is the last thing the army really wants is to have a bunch of Haredim join the army. It wouldn't really be good for the army. So the army is fine with you or B'nai Torah not going. But be it as it may, but one of the good qualities of the Israeli army is that they don't glorify in bloodshed. And in fact, halachically, they may sometimes act in not a proper way, because they put themselves at great, great risk to minimize loss of life. The United States itself, when we're looking for Osama bin Laden or whatever we're trying to do, we'll have aerial bombings. Now, when you have aerial bombings, you have what is euphemistically called collateral damage. Some innocent people get killed here and there, but the United States says, gotta do it. Israel goes house to house to house. They don't aerial bomb areas of terrorism. Because they don't want to hurt people who might be innocent. And there may not even be that many people who might be innocent, or whatever it is. And they go from house to house. And that's extremely dangerous. When you have, suicide bombers, you have terrorists, when you have people who use their children to throw bombs or shoot weapons, you open the door, every door you open, you could be met with a bomb. But they do it because, chas v'shalom, they don't want to take an unnecessary life. And that's mushrish from the attitude of Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayom. We had 10 Maimrim Shiva.
What about us, Yosh?
Yeah, I'll get to that, because Yosh yourself will carry. Yeah, we'll get to that. Now, here's the thing. It's brought down in the Yerushalmi a whole other different explanation of what Maisa Yadai is. Taking the same lashon of Rabbi Yochanan and using it pum fakert. The Yerushalmi says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, don't say Shira, is because the Jewish people were still going through the water. They weren't out of the danger yet. Because remember, the Malachi Asharis were also saying the Jewish people don't deserve to be redeemed. And Hashem had to kind of argue with them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, don't say Shira until the Jewish people are out of the water. See, you see the same words here. We're taking the words Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam V'Atem Omrim Shira. According, right, those are of Yochanan's words that he put into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. Based on the drasha, V'Lai Karav Zeh El Zeh Kol Halayla. According to the Bavli, Maisa Yadai means the Egyptians are drowning. How can you be besimcha? According to the Yerushalmi, the Jewish people are still in danger of drowning. Don't say Shira yet. So it's fascinating that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are taking the same lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, Maisa Yadai Tavu Biyam, and they are interpreting it in two opposite drachim. Now, like the Yerushalmi, I'll give you another teretz too, but like the Yerushalmi, your kasha is very miyashiv, right? The kasha he asked is, well, wait a second here. The Malachim are not supposed to say Shira because the Egyptians are drowning. So how can the Jewish people say Oz Yashir, expressing their joy that Hashem redeemed them? And in that Shir, there's plenty of references to Paro drown. In other words, you can't just say we're mesameich about the other things. So I'll pity Yerushalmi, it's talking very good. Because like Yerushalmi, the avla of Maisa Yadai was simply that don't be Mishabeach Hashem till the Yidden are out of Sakana. Once they're out of Sakana, you know, we don't care about the Egyptians, right? But like the Babli, it's a good kasha. I'll try to answer that when we go by. But like the Babli, it's a kasha. Maishna from us Yashir. Okay. Sometimes we avoid sometimes historicizing Agada, meaning to say we sometimes, you know, we don't want to say that an Agada of Chazal was influenced by historical circumstance. But it's interesting that, you know, perhaps one might give this machshava that the matzav of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael and the matzav of the Yidden in Bavel may have given rise to these two different havanas in the Maisa Yadai Tavu Biyam. In Eretz Yisrael was under the dominion of the Romans. The Romans, this is after Rome became Christian, the Romans were very, very harsh. The Romans persecuted Jews. The Romans killed Jews, besides destroying the Beis HaMikdash, which is a little earlier. The Romans didn't let Yidden learn Torah. So the Romans are like Nazi Germany. So perhaps one could understand why the Yerushalmi didn't interpret Maisa Yadai as Rachmanus for the poor Egyptians who were dying. Because based on the connection that the Yidden and Eretz Yisrael had to the Umos HaOlam, they're not, I mean, you know, how likely would it be, you know, Hitler, the Nazis, is somebody going to say, oh, the poor Nazis, you know, Hitler had to kill himself, you know, it must have been so hard for him. You wouldn't have that Rachamim there. So Mamela, based on their connection to Edom, they understood Maisa Yadai Tavu Biyam as basically saying, let's worry about the Jewish people. Mashenkin and Bavel at the time was not under Rome. Bavel was Iraq, ancient Iraq, and it was not under the rule of Rome. Bavel was never under the rule of Rome. Bavel was ruled by what's called the Sassanian dynasty. And the Sassanian dynasty were Persians. Although the Persians were worshippers of Zoroastrianism, the God of light and the gods of dark, and that's why Chazal ben Masakan, Yetzer Bari Cheshech, that in the day
what's
we have
called?
To...
Zoroastrianism.
Zoroaster was the founder of this religion. I don't think it's a practice today. I don't think there's any practicing Zoroastrianism. But pre-Islam, this is a pre-Islamic religion. This is before Islam kind of took it over. And this was the religion of the Goyim in Babel. And the distinguishing feature of Zoroastrianism was they believed in the god of light. It was a Bodhisattva, the god of light, and another god of darkness. And because of this, this is why Chazal were Mesakein, that in the day you have to mention that Hashem created dark, and in the night you have to mention Hashem created day, of Midas Yayim Belayla, Midas Lavem. It's clearly because of Zoroastrianism, etc. It's interesting, though, that they did this in Eretz Yisrael too, where Zoroastrianism didn't have the same influence. But although the Zoroastrianism, you know, was an Avodah Zarah, but Lagabe, letting Jews keep mitzvahs, Jews, you know, they weren't persecuting Jews. So Mimela, you could say possibly that Lagabe, the Goyim, that the Jews in Babel were dealing with, they could talk and say Hashem has rachamim for them as well. Right? So you can actually connect the two gishais with these two different versions. But let's go with the Bavli, right? The Bavli is how we paskin. Now, let me mention another thing that's brought down, because again, I want you to clearly differentiate between the Gemara, the Medrash, and what other Rishonim do with the Medrash. You know, during the Haggadah of Pesach, there's a minhag that when we say the Ten Makos, Dam Svardei Akinim, we pour out some wine, a drop for each makah. And many say that the proper minhag is to do it with your finger. Other people say you just pour the cup. Now, the reason that people commonly give for this, is once again, since the makais are describing the punishment and the destruction of Mitzrayim, our simcha cannot be complete when other people suffer, drawing on the idea of Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam. Now, again, the first time that reason is mentioned, that's a very commonly given reason, and every Haggadah will say it, and it's a very attractive reason. I mean, it's a reason, but it's what you might call a politically correct reason as well, because, you know, it makes Jews look good, that, you know, we care about our enemies, you know, we have rachamim. So it's a very nice reason, which is why it's so popular. But I just want to point out, the first person who gives that reason is very late. The minhag is an old minhag. And the first person who gives it is almost the last of the Rishonim, and that's the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, in his parish of the Haggadah, applies the Maisa Yadei Tavu Bayam to explain why we pour out the wine for the Esra Makkah. So be sure to have the hierarchy here. The teaching of Maisa Yadei Tavu Bayam, the Malachim shouldn't say Shira, that's in the Bavli. And even then, you have a Machlaikas in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi how to learn the Drasha. But the Bavli never gives that as a reason for half Hallel. That is given by a Medrash Harninu, which is quoted by the Shibalei Lekin. Moreover, the Gemara never mentions, in fact, the Gemara doesn't even mention the minhag of pouring out wine for the Esra Makos. That is mentioned as an early minhag, but only the Abarbanel is the first one who says it's connected to Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. And what he's doing is, he's taking a Maimar Chazal that was dealing with Kriyas Yamsuf, and he's applying it to Ten Makos. And Rav Shimshon HaFal Hirsch later also popularized it. Rav Shimshon HaFal Hirsch used that reason a lot, how the Jewish ethic is compassion even for our enemies and everything else. Now again, it's a little hard to stem. I mean, with the Seder, after benching, we open up the door and we say, Shvocha Mascha, pour your anger, pour your wrath on all the nations, right? So it's a little hard to say that we have so much Rachmanis. Okay. But it's important to know in your own mind what the Gemara says and what the Medrash takes from the Gemara and what the Abarbanel takes, you know, from the Medrash. These are different levels and the like. So, the question that, I want to raise is this. The question I want to raise is, that L'chaira, if you go with the Shibalei Leket, that if you go to Shiboli Leket, that the reason I don't say a full Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach is because of Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam. So why do I say a whole Hallel on the first day of Pesach? L'chaira, the first day of Pesach was Makas Bechoros. The first day of Pesach celebrates the 10 Makos. Befrat, the Abarbanel says, on the 10 Makos Gufa, we have a Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam, which is why we pour out the wine. By the way, if you don't learn like the Abarbanel, the reason why we pour out the wine with the finger, that's why it's done with the finger, is simply a remez etzba lokimi, that the makos are the finger of Hashem. So for care, it's as if we say wine is symbolic of the prosperity of Egypt. And we're showing how they were nilter, right? The opposite. It's not our joy being diminished. It's a remez to how Hashem destroyed them. Okay. So the question is, on the first day of Pesach, we seem to be particularistic. We celebrate what happened to us, our hatzlacha. What happened to them? They deserved it. It's only on the last day of Pesach that all of a sudden we become, as it were, we become universalist concerned. In other words, why is there a taina of Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam only on the last day, and then Chol HaMoed gets dragged down with the last days, and we don't have that on the first day? So I want to give you two teretzim today, and I'll give you a third teretz later, which is a longer and a deeper teretz. One teretz is like this. Rav Chaim says the following. This is a more of a lumbish teretz. Rav Chaim basically says, when you look in the dinam of Hallel, there are two different factors that are mechayev you to say Hallel. Why am I chayev to say Hallel? There is a Hallel that you're mechayev to say because of Yom Tov, Kedushas Yom Tov. Every Yom Tov is mechayev you to say Hallel. And then there's a Hallel you're mechayev to say because you were Nitzel, Klal Yisrael was saved from a nate. There is Hallel Mitam Yom Tov, and Hallel Mitam Neis. Now let's identify. Sometimes Hallel only has a Yom Tov aspect and not a Neis aspect. Sometimes it only has a Neis aspect and not a Yom Tov aspect. And sometimes it has both. Let's consider, for example, the Hallel of Hanukkah. The Hallel of Hanukkah is not because it's a Yom Tov. Hanukkah is not a Yom Tov. The Hallel of Hanukkah is only because a Neis happened to cause. It's not the Neis of the oil either. That's not why you say Hallel. You say Hallel because of the Neis of being Minatseach over the Yavanim. And Klal Yisrael was saved. So Hanukkah is an example of Hallel that is not Mitam Yom Tov. It's only Hallel Mitam Neis. If so, why is there no Hallel for Purim? So that's the Gemara Megillah asks. Either because Kriyas HaMegillah is the fulfillment of Hallel, or because even after the miracle of Purim, we were still vulnerable to Haman. Not to Haman, but to Achashverosh. Or we don't say Hallel on Nisim that happened in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, that's it, right? But Hanukkah is Hallel Mitam Neis. Now, what's an example of Hallel that is only Mitam the Yom Tov, the holiness of the Yom Tov? Sukkos. Sukkos, we were not saved from any sakana. But Sukkos is a Zman of Kedusha, so we have to have Hallel. Now, Pesach is the one Yom Tov where you have the combination, the confluence of the two different mechayvim of Hallel. You have Hallel Mitam Yom Tov, because Pesach is a Yom Tov, and you have Hallel Mitam Neis, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Based on this Mahalach, Rav Chaim says the following. Rav Chaim says that why does the Gemara give a different reason than the Shibboleth Lekka? The Gemara says we only say half Hallel because the Korbanos are the same. Shibboleth Lekka comes up with the reason of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. Why do you need both reasons? Rav Chaim says there's actually not a machlokes. You need both reasons. Because the Gemara and the Shibboleth Lekka, which quotes a Medrash, are asking two different questions. The Gemara is asking, since every day of Pesach is a Yom Tov, just like every day of Sukkot is a Yom Tov, you should be chayav every day to say Hal Shalem because of the holiness of a Yom Tov. That's the Gemara in Erechon's Kasha. Now, on that Kasha, you can't give a Teretz. Maisa Yadai Tavu B'Yom. Because I'm not saying Hallel because of Hashem saving me. I'm saying Hallel because it's a Yom Tov. So on that, the Gemara's answer is, every day of Sukkot is a separate Yom Tov. Every day of Pesach is not a separate Yom Tov because the Korbanos are the same. And therefore, Mitam Yom Tov, Hallel on the first day will cover me for the Yom Tov because it's all one Yom Tov. But the Shibboleth Lekka is asking the following. Ein hachi nami, the Gemara in Erechon answered. Why you don't have a separate Hallel Mitam Yom Tov? But since Shvi Shel Pesach had a unique and distinct miracle, called Kriyas Yom Tov, we should say a full Hallel on Shvi Shel Pesach, not because it's a Yom Tov, because that would be subsumed in the Hallel of the first day, but because of the Nes, like Chanukah. On that, the Shibboleth Lekka's answer is, Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam, Year of Chaim's Mahalach. So, based on Rav Chaim's Mahalach, it turns out like this. I had asked Akasha, so according to Rav Chaim, why do you say Hallel on the first day? What about Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam? The answer is, Hallel on the first day is because of Yom Tov, not because of Nes. And Memela, the time of Maisa Yadai doesn't apply. And with Rav Chaim, you have a beautiful yeshuv to the Taz's Kasha, because the Taz asked the Kasha and the Shibboleth Lekka that if the reason I don't say Hallel on the seventh day is because of Maisa Yadai, then I ought to say a full Hallel on Chol HaMoed, right? And the Taz had to answer that we don't want Chol HaMoed to be better than Yom Tov. But like Rav Chaim, it's Kabbalic. Of course you're not going to say Hallel. In other words, Lagabe Chol HaMoed, the Gemara in Erechon is a perfect teretz. It's not a separate, right? Chol HaMoed is neither a separate Yom Tov because the Korbanos are the same, nor is there a separate Nes. So for Shteitza Chol HaMoed will be covered by the Hallel of the first day. It's only the seventh day of Pesach that we need Maisa Yadai Tavu B'Yom. That's Rav Chaim's teretz. Okay, so that's a very Gevaldige teretz. That, the Hallel of the first day is Mitam Yom Tov. It is not Mitam Nes. Now I understand, in a sense, this is a little circular because the Yom Tov itself is because of the Nes, but nevertheless, the Hallel is because of the Kedushas HaChag, not because of the Nes intrinsically. Shvi Shel Pesach, however, in which Al Yom Tov you wouldn't say Hallel because of the Gemara in Erechon, I still have to come on to the reason of Maisa Yadai, why you don't do it because of Hallel Mitam Nes. Okay. So that's teretz number one you can give B'Shem Rav Chaim. Now I'll give you a teretz number two, which also they say B'Shem Rav Chaim, although this I don't think is written down anywhere. And that is, now you asked Akash already, and I mentioned one teretz, like the Yerushalmi, and that is, well, wait a second here. Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam, we're not supposed to praise the Egyptians. I'm sorry, we're not supposed to praise Hashem for destroying the Egyptians. What about Oz Yashir? Oz Yashir, right after Kriyas Yom Tov. Right? If the Malachim couldn't do it, how could we do it? Now, putting aside the Shibalim Leket, let's ask the consciousness side. The Gemara, this is already the Gemara itself, forget about Shibalim Leket, the Gemara says the Malachim couldn't do it, weren't allowed to do it. If the Malachim weren't allowed to do it, why were we allowed to do it? That's a kasha directly on the Gemara. So one of the answers that's given is the following. There's a chiluk between the beneficiary, the person who directly benefits from the miracle, and another entity. If Hashem saves my life, even if it's by destroying another person, I have the right and I have the obligation to be grateful. I'm not praising Hashem in the abstract. I'm expressing gratitude that I'm alive. So, Oz Yashir is direct Hakaras HaTayv to the Rivani Shel Olam. When there's direct Hakaras HaTayv, there's no taina ma'isa yadei tavu b'yam v'atemay mimshira. I'm being makir tayv for what you did to me. But that's only mitzad Yisrael. The malachim who themselves were not beneficiaries, they're not being makir tayv, they're mishabeach. So Hashem doesn't want shvach if it's ma'isa yadei tavu b'yam. Now that's in the Gemara itself, right? So there's a chiluk between Am Yisrael and the malachim. Is Am Yisrael who directly benefited from Kriyas Yamsuf, they are expressing their Hakaras HaTayv. Yeah? The Malachim who did not benefit are Stamazai praising Hashem. Hashem doesn't want praise. Hashem wants gratitude, but he doesn't want praise when people are dying. Oh. So based on this chiluk, we have the following beautiful words. What does the Haggadah say about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Each person must, there's a special chiyuv, each person must regard himself as if he himself was taken out of Mitzrayim. Chayav Adam lirais es atzmai. So the reason I can say a full Hallel on the first day of Pesach is because on the first day of Pesach, I am like the Jews at Kriyas Yamsuf themselves. I myself benefited from Hashem's redemption. Therefore, I have a chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov. But, by Shvi Shel Pesach, again, this is a shtickel chiddush, the din of Chayav Adam Lirais Es Atzmei Kiluhu Yatza is going on Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is no chiyuv that each person must regard himself as if they were personally taken through the Red Sea. So the Kenech is the following. Lagabe the first day, I am like the Yidden after Kriyas Yamsuf who said Oz Yashir. Lagabe the seventh day, I am like the Malachim where there's a taina of Ma'aseh Yadayim. You hear the word, because the Chayav Adam Lirais Es Atzmei is a Chayav only by Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Yes. Right? So mm-hmm. That would be a good teretz as well. So Gabi Oz Yashir, Hakaras HaTayv, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a Mahalach.
Where would we say Oz Yashir?
Oh, we say it every day, you mean? Yeah. We say it every day. That's a taina, but it could be that, you know, keep in mind that we never say legamri that we're not mishabeach Hashem. I mean, after all, even on Shvi Shel Pesach, we say half halah. In other words, but there has to be some recognition of human suffering, and that recognition is by not saying a whole halah. So legabri being maskir shach, you know, some shvach we can be maskir and afilu hachi we can be maskir. Now I'll mention yet another teretz. There's a lot of interest to this question, and that is the following. Do you remember another medrash? The medrash says that when the Yidden were crossing the Yamsuf, so the pasuk says, "Hamayim lahem chayma." The water was a wall, two walls, miminam to their right, umismolam, and to their left. So the word chayma in the Torah is written without a vav. Now without a vav, the word chayma could be read as if it said chayma. The water was angry. Why was the water angry? Because the water, or the angel of the water, said to Hashem, Ma nishtanu elo me'elo? Why are the Jews more deserving of redemption than the Egyptians? Halalu avdei avodah zarah, v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. They're all avdei avodah zarah. We call this a kitrug. There was a kitrug against Am Yisrael. And Hashem Kavyachal had to defend himself, or defend us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say, yes, right now they're not worthy, but they're eventually going to be Mekabel the Torah, etc. So it could be like this. It could be that the Taina of Maisei, let me go back a little bit. So there's a kitrug, like she was saying. Now, why wasn't there a kitrug by Mitzrayim? By the Ten Makas, we don't find the Malachi Yashari say, why are you punishing the Jews and not punishing the Egyptians? I'm sorry, the other way. Why are you punishing the Egyptians, not punishing them? In other words, by Yitzhak Hashem, there is no kitrug. There's only a kitrug by Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Meshech Chachma says, an interesting thought, the Meshech Chachma says that even though the Yidden and Mitzrayim were Avdei Avodah Zarah, except for Shevet Levi, they had Zechuyas of Achtus and Avas Yisrael. They didn't change their name. They didn't change their clothing. They spoke Hebrew. Those are indicators of Achtus and Avas Yisrael. So he tainas that when there's Achtus and Avas Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevater, even over the sins of Avodah Zarah. And that's why we were worthy of redemption. By Kriyas Yamsuf, the Acht broke down, because in the panic of the moment, everybody was looking for their own strategy. So when the Achtus breaks down, there's a kitrug. There's a kitrug. So Memela, al pi the Meshech Chachma Svara, you could say the following. When is there a Taina Maisei Yadai Tavu Bayam? Only when we're no better than the people who were killed. Meaning, we're saved and they're killed, and we really didn't deserve to be saved. So Memela, what gives us the right to be happy when they die? But when there's no kitrug, meaning we have zechuyas which are above them, the name of Chinan, in other words, the taina of Maisei Yadai Tavu Biyam is makusher with halalu avdei avodah zarah, halalu avdei zarah. So when we were better than them, then there's no taina that we could be fully happy. Right? So that's yet another mouth. Okay. But I just want to end with a very, very short word from the Gra. Gevaldige, gevaldige word. You can pass the chumash there at the end of the day. Thank you. In Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chaf Beis, there's a pasuk that says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. B'nei Yisrael went into the sea, which became dry land. V'hamayim lahem choma. The water was a wall. Miminam u'mismolam. To their right and to their left. This is Pasuk Chaf Beis. I look a few psukim down to Pasuk Chaf Tes. Chaptesh, just 7 psukim later. Ubnei Yisrael hochu biyabasha b'tochayam. Hamayim lehem choma mimi namo mismala. So question number one is, why do we repeat the same idea twice? What's the purpose of the repetition? But question number two is, it's not a complete repetition. Pasuk Chaf Bei said, B'tochayam biyabasha. Pasuk Chavtes says, "Biyabasha b'tochayim." And number three, the double entendre that Chazal darshan, choma and chema, because there's no vav. Choma out of vav is only in pasuk Chavtes. Pasuk Chavbeis, chema is with the vav, so it could only mean wall. It cannot mean anger. Three kashas. Why is the pasuk repeated? Why is there a shinoi? Tochayam yabasha, yabasha tochayam. And why is choma in the first pasuk with above, and in the second pasuk without above? So the Gra says, Kavalda, very, very nice, that the two pasukim are talking about two different people. The first pasuk is a remez to the Mesiras Nefesh of Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was willing in the moment of panic, when most of the Jewish people lost emunah, to jump into the water, and the water went up to his neck, and some say up to his nose, and the water split. On people like Nachshon ben Aminadav, there's no kitrug why are they deserving of being redeemed. He's Meiser Nefesh because of his emunah. So the first pasuk chafes, v'yavo bnei Yisrael b'toich hayam b'yabasha. What does that mean? They jumped into the sea, which became yabasha. On them, there's no chema, there's no anger, there's no kitrut, and that's why choma is spelled only with a vav. But pasuk chafes is talking about the rest of Klal Yisrael that were not willing to go into the water until the water split. Vayavayu v'yabasha v'tochayav. They went in when it was already dry land. They did not have that emunah, and that's why the word chayma is spelled without a vav, because there's that remez in the Midrash that there was chema halalu evdei avodah zarah halalu evdei avodah zarah. That's beautiful. So all three kashas are answered in one fell swoop. That's the two psukim and merameh to the two different groupings. Now, you also know the famous Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all the shiduchim, and a shidduch is as hard or as miraculous as kriyas yamsa. So why is the shidduch compared to Kriyas Yamsuf? So some people say that just like Nachshon ben Aminadav had to be willing to jump into the water and have emunah that Hashem will take care of him, so too in the shidduch, sometimes, you know, we have to be Isaac and Ishtadlis, but we sometimes want everything to be perfect. We make up a list of 150 things, and if somebody only has 149 and a half, they're no good. No, I have to see that this is perfect for me. Sometimes you have to be like Nachshon, be willing to jump in and believe that Hashem is going to help you. So, it's Hashem. Okay. All right, have a good day.
Is there a medrash that says that they took Atzmos Yosef and placed it up or right before the Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Yamsuf said, oh, because Yosef was against his Teva, I'll be against my Teva?
Yeah, this is the Pasuk. We say in Hallel, Hayam Ra'a, the sea saw something, Vayanos, and it fled. That's Kriyas Yamsuf, like the sea fled by splitting. So according to the Medrash, Ma Ra'a, what did the sea see? It saw Arono Shel Yosef. And it doesn't explain why, but you're offering one of the explanations, that the sea basically said, my Teva is not to split, my Teva is to flow. Yosef was miskaber over his teva. You also must be miskaber over your teva. So, right now, shall Yosef.
All right.
Okay.
Good to hear. Is that all the time? Personal question?